Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. It once again I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show, scan number 2979. I'm Carol Levine. I am Vice President of NASCA. And tonight is Michelle Bless Night. Yes, it is. And she comes on every Thursday night. She's a minister. She's our chaplain. She's also a counselor. And she works out in the field. We have a lot in common, she and I. And tonight, she has a topic that she would like to talk about. And this is something that had happened during the course of the day or last night. I went into today. So she's asked for my approval, and I said, fine. So I will say a little bit about her. So other people, if you're not familiar with Michelle, tonight the special co-host will be Michelle Bless from Cincinnati, a survivor of severe child abuse who's now a minister and chaplain. She'll appear on the first Thursday of each month, and this is her Thursday, and is the author of the book Out of the Darkness, The Michelle Bless Story, her story of redemption. So and in 1997, yes, she was introduced to the Lord, and she denounced Satan. So from there, I do want to read the mission statement. I see that our panel is filling up. This is good. And away we will go in a minute. So let it fill up. We have a singleness of purpose of NASCA to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two different ways. Number one is educating the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting the facts that show child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And it absolutely does. I don't care what continent you're on, it affects you, okay? Number two, offering hope for the healing through numerous paths and providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Now, prevention is something that I'm a stickler on, and the reason being is I believe that if we had more prevention going around, and if people cared more and learned more about child abuse and abuse in general, okay, we were taught what to say, what to do, what not to do, and all this other stuff, and we're taught this, and we do this on NASCA. Then just maybe, I say just maybe, we would be able to put the dent in the statistics of child abuse. Our website is NASCA, that's NASCA.org, that's NASCA.org. And if you open that up, you will see red blocks, I call them red blocks. And each one of the blocks, it will have like a different topic in them, okay? And I suggest that people do get, you know, involved with those topics, and you'll certainly learn an awful lot of things. It was very well put together. It has a lot of information. And when I've done all kinds of presentations and so forth, I take a lot of that information right off of our own website. That's how good it is. Okay. So tonight, Michelle has something she'd like to talk about. And I see that, okay, there's a couple of people here, and Charles is here. I don't know if Charles wants to speak or not tonight. Michelle, do you think he's going to speak tonight? Would he like to?
I'm going to speak tonight.
Okay. You want to speak? Okay, I got it. Okay. So right now we have... Okay, no problem. We have Michelle. We have Annie. She's my co-host. And we have Charles. And anyone want to call in, you'll be listening to the topic of tonight. It's 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. Okay, so take it away.
Is it, I can go?
Yeah, you, take it away. Go ahead.
All right, hello, everyone. My name is Michelle Bless. Actually, I am a minister. I am a chaplain. I am an author. And I am a clinical therapist counselor. I talked to my sister, Carol, earlier today. I had gotten a disturbing call. Like I said, I'm a minister, and I minister to several nursing homes. And this one particular nursing home that I've been a minister at for the past 2 years, this particular lady that I've been ministering to, even though I minister to everyone else there, I happen to go to school with her daughter since elementary. So in saying that, I got a disturbing news today that her mother, 90 years old, and her mother was raped today in a nursing home, a high-intel nursing home. The reason why it affects me more so than ever is because I went to school with her daughter since elementary. And she was like a second mother to me growing up because from elementary school on up to I turned 16 before I went to the military, she was like a second mom to me. Whenever I had the opportunity when my dad allowed me to get away from home outside of being in school during that era, she was like a mother to me. So to find out that she was raped today, 90 years old, raped by a male nurse, has been the most devastating thing for me today. I am so done right now. And don't get me wrong, when I deal with the person that I am and I go minister, whether it's in a nursing home, whether it's in jails, whether it's in schools, whether it's in the streets, my heart still have compassion. But when it, but when it's close to home, I am beyond devastated. I have no words. And to watch this lady who I've known all my life, and I'm sitting in the chair next to her bed because she's in the hospital, and she's going to be there for the next week or two, they said. Because why? Because her vagina is ripped apart. Her backside is ripped apart. Her mouth is swollen and in pain, and she had to write to me what happened to her while she was holding my hand. And it just brought me back to all my abuse that I've been through all my life. But watch this, y'all. We're talking about, for me, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm set free from what I endure, and I do what I do to share my life and my story to help others. But we're talking about experiencing a day, a woman that was an outlet for me, that I would run and hide in her house from abuse as a little girl, and to find out that she was raped today at 90 years old, and what she suffered. I wanted to share this, and I could have been a person that, when I talked to my sister Carol earlier, I could have said to her, you know, I'm not coming on the show. No, see, I'm not about that. Because God has been using me all week to minister to victims of sexual child abuse all week. Now, watch this. All week. And I told them about this show, to come on the show, to listen to the show. And then this happened today. Me as, right now, I'm putting my minister cap on. Me as a minister, I know it's going to be okay. But what hurt me the most is that for the past 20 years that I go and minister to people who are survivors of sexual child abuse, domestic violence, rape, et cetera, et cetera, had experienced that sort of abuse as a child, a teenager, and a young adult. But right now what hurt me the most is because this is a woman who is 90 years old that has never experienced abuse in her life. And she experienced it for the first time at the age of 90 years old. And her vagina has been ripped apart. And that her behind has been ripped apart. And that her mouth has been ripped apart. And she said to me, why me? As a woman that worked all my life, raised my kids, raised my grandkids, retired, and I'm in a nursing home, and this happened to me. I had to hold, I cried in the inside, like, oh, my God. I talked to so many people that I ministered to, that I have, you know, and they have suffered what we suffer, Carol, you know, child abuse, rape, you know, human trafficking, you know, kidnapping, you know, et cetera, et cetera. As a young child or a teenager. But this woman at 90 years old asked me why it happened to her now. And I didn't have an answer for that. But yeah, what I did do was grab her hand and pray with her. And she didn't want to hear none of that. But because she know me, she allowed me to pray. She don't understand. So here is why I'm here, audience, panel, or whoever's listening. I am a woman of God that has suffered child abuse, rape, kidnapping, human trafficking. I have experienced so much in my life as far as abuse is concerned. If you want to think of the worst, I've been there. But, and then for the past 20 years, God has used me to go to the trenches, to go to the schools, to go to the hospitals, to go to nursing homes, to go to the streets, to go to different vineyards and minister and share my story. But when this woman who is 90 years old, who has never experienced nothing what we've been through in our lives, said to me, why? And when she said why, she said, she didn't even say why and leave it at that. She said, why at 90? I couldn't give her an answer.
Well, Michelle, if you'll let me speak just for a second here. One thing that we did speak a lot about maybe 7 or 8 years ago now. Don't forget, I've been here 12 years. Was institutional abuse, okay?
Yeah.
Institutional abuse. Yeah. And this is what, you know, this wonderful lady who helped you so much as you were growing up as a child, that you would turn to for guidance and so forth because you had no one else to turn to.
Yeah.
This is what she has experienced, is institutional abuse. Institutional doesn't always mean prison, like you and I talk so much about, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Institution is any organization, like hospitals. It can be anything. And so unfortunately, this man, if you want to call him a man, the sicko psycho, as I call him, took it upon himself to do this. And that's a very, very mentally ill individual. And it goes back somewhere into his, and I don't care if he is a nurse, it goes back into his childhood somewhere. Maybe.
Absolutely.
Maybe he hated old people. Maybe someone elderly was mean to him. Who knows? I'm not in his head.
Yeah.
But I do know that usually, now they say that the stats are very, very, very low. And we were talking about this the other day, you and I. We who have been abused very, you know, often do not abuse other people. The stats are very low on that. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. So what I'm hearing you say from one counselor to another is that this guy had something going on in his past. And he's probably been plotting it and planning it and all this other thing. And think about it. They like to take people who, you know, are like little kids, or in this case, the elderly, people who can't really fight back.
Yeah.
They're really, really bullies, okay? And what they do
Let me say this, girl. And guess what else I found out?
Because
I'm reading the notes right now. That this year, that means earlier this year, because this is a rich nursing home, you know, the who's, right? That means the rich folks put them in some good nursing home, right? Like that means anything. But I found out that also someone got raped earlier this year and they paid the family off and brushed up under the rug. Like, really? Are you serious?
What have we spoken about during the week?
So the daughter who I went to school with, she said to me, she said, Michelle, because she's so broken, she ain't got no words. I've been ministering to her all day. I'm exhausted, but I said I had to do my show. And she said, I want to put this out here for the city, you know, where we are, to know. And I said, we can do that because, of course, I got connections. I end up calling, you know, one of my people that I know, that I network with, who is a radio personnel, you know, on the news, you know. I told them what was going on, and they need the police report. And I said, here's the good news. All that's being done tomorrow. She gets the police report. Tomorrow we're doing the live, that means breaking news in Cincinnati, Ohio. Because I said to her, because keep in mind now, I'm one of the ministers that minister at that nursing home, right? There are women there, Carol, that can't even talk. That's mute.
That's right.
Who knows if they suffer that?
That's right.
And I'm
There's
sorry,
certainly
you
always
guys,
more than
listen
one.
Me if I'm raising my voice, but I'm so hurt and broken. Like, it's like deja vu. Like, not in
it
a nursing home
back.
For me. It takes me back to my childhood. It takes me back to being raped. And then, you know, you look at adults who's supposed to look out for you. And the same adults that you look up to that don't look out for you, hurt you, tell you to shut up, tell you to be quiet, tell you not to talk.
That's right.
Tell you nobody gonna believe. You know all that. You know what it is, Carol.
Oh, yeah.
It took me back to that. And I'm like, oh, my God. But when I went to the hospital, Carol, and I see this 90-year-old woman who they had to put in a, but I don't know what it's called, but you know how they elevate you from the bed in a sling?
Yeah.
Because her vagina and butt was so abused. She couldn't even lay on her body. They had to elevate her from her bed. Like, are you serious?
Yes.
So this is what I got to say while I'm doing all my emotional, and yes, I'm very emotional. Rape is real.
Yes.
Childhood abuse is real. Trauma, depression is real.
Oh, yeah.
Human trafficking is real.
Yep.
And just know whoever's listening, you're not alone. But we need to continue to come together the way we do, Carol. And we need to have people that are real. I don't come at me with titles. I'm this, I'm that, I'm that. I don't want to hear none of that. Because if you come at me like that right now while I'm on my show, I'm going to check you. I'm going to check you. I'm going to check you. And if you think I'm playing, ask Carol. Because
I work
in the court system. I work with judges. I work with prosecutors. I work with defense attorneys. I work with police officers. Don't play with me. Because I will have you checked out. This is not a joke. This is real-life trauma.
Yes.
You got people that right now, Carol, I'm sharing what happened today. But you got people who have been abused since they was a freaking little kid, and they're not over it. They're not healed. They didn't go get help. And this is why we're here. This is real. And that's why I've been with this show, and Carol can testify to that, since 2012. 2012.
That's right.
Don't come on here if you're a survivor and you ain't real to give hope to a victim. Don't do it. Because between me and Carol and Brother Bill, you will get checked. We're not here for that. We're talking about people's lives.
That's right.
And then prior to what happened today, I found out somebody I was ministering to and other people was ministering to. I wasn't really there to do minister. I spoke with them maybe once or twice. And then, you know, from other ministers who've been walking with this particular individual, they committed suicide. So they committed suicide yesterday, and now I got somebody who I went to school with their daughter, and they were raped, their mother, at 90 years old. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
This is real life.
One thing I have to say about this, Michelle, all right, this is a horrible, horrible shock for you because you've known this person so long and she means so much to you. And God bless her for helping you all those years, okay, as you were trying to grow up and all this stuff and all, and the ritual abuse that you went through, too.
She was a hideaway, Carol. Carol, she was a hideaway. I'm talking about when I was able to run away from home, being abused, I would go to her house, and she would help me and love me and comfort me.
Yeah.
And so to see her to be an elderly woman at 90, and then she experienced freaking abuse at 90 years old, that's a real big pill to swallow. Not a hard pill. It's a difference from swallowing a hard pill and then swallowing a big pill. This is a big pill for me. It ain't no hard pill because I don't, me and you as counselors, as therapists, as survivors, we don't experience what we experience, but then we met and God brought people in our life that we ministered to and talked to and counseled that went through hell and back. But this right here, 90 years old.
It shows the sickness. Michelle, it shows the
first
sickness.
Time drama, trauma, abuse.
Yeah.
Man, that's
it shows
that,
the sickness
that's a lot,
of this
Carol.
Individual. Yes, it shows the sickness of him. But you say that tomorrow it's going to be on the news. Now, look.
Oh, most definitely.
This will bring
I'll
forth.
You know, it's going
to
go national. It's going national. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
yes
ma'am.
I'm
it's
sure
going
it is
national.
And it should.
I'm the
and you know what, Michelle? This is, you know, good that it goes national because, you see, more attention has to be given to the institutions, whatever they might be, whether it be for children who are being abused in these institutions, of course we know about that, or whether it be for the elderly, okay, because it goes on all the time.
But this
it
is what I want to say.
It happened in Greystone. How awful. Mentally ill people.
Oh, my God.
Where staff
this is
were
what I
abusing
want.
Them.
But here's my point, Carol. So you know what kills me? And I don't run into many people. Like, I seen something, but, like, I was in the store at Walmart, and I see this woman beat her child, and it was really hard, but it's not my business. Excuse me? We got to be the voice for people who are suffering abuse, meaning children. Uh-huh. If you see something and you're afraid to go to the person, you ain't got to go to them. Call the freaking police. I don't want to see no one suffer what me and you and other people on the panelists have endured because we have so many fatalities. Y'all don't understand.
Do.
I done met so many people who committed suicide.
Yes. Yeah.
Who committed suicide because they couldn't handle this. This is real life.
Yes.
If you don't have compassion, if you don't have love, don't respond. Period. Mm-hmm. Because this is real right now, live on this show. This is real. This is real.
You bet. Yeah. And unfortunately, it happens all the time. And this is why I'm so sorry for what you're going through and for what her daughter is going through and for what this poor lady is going through. You think a person 90 years old, we're not talking about a 2-year-old.
And boohooing and her only son,
no,
you know what he wants
to
do? He wants to go kill this man, but here's the good news. He's in jail. Oh, yes, because that woman over her mouth is told who did that to her. He's in jail.
Uh-huh.
But how can you and here's the part. Her daughter, who I went to school with, you know what she said to me? She said, Michelle, please take away the pain. I can't take away that pain.
No.
I told her, I'm
you
not
can't.
God. I said, baby, I can't take it away. But it's her fault for someone to cry out and ask for a particular help from you, and I can't help them in that way. She asked me, please take away the pain. I can't take away that pain.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take away that pain. I can't.
It's okay, Michelle, that you can't. You can't feel like you can cure or heal everyone. I know she doesn't want to hear that she was used as an example, okay? That's ludicrous, and that'd be crazy to even say right now because she's so filled with pain.
I said that too, Carol. I said that too.
Well, we would. We would. But when she's feeling better, and I pray to God that she does feel better. She's 90 years old. So I pray to God that she does feel better. and that
she
she'll be able to
me,
look
Carol,
at it in
don't you
that
understand
light.
What I'm saying? Don't you
yes,
understand
I
what
do.
I'm saying, my sister? That this woman, 90 yes. years old, vanished up in the air from her bed asking me to take away her pain.
Yeah. And you can't. You're not God.
I can't.
I'm not God.
I can't
God.
Do that.
I can't
my
walk
God.
On water. Can you?
No.
Listen to me.
But you know what? I don't mention so many people, but I'm going to tell you guys who's listening, this is the most hurtful thing that I experienced today. This is worse than what the hell I've been through. For a 90-year-old woman crying, looking at me in tears in her eyes, asking me to take away her pain.
Right.
Oh, my God.
But you
God.
Can't. You can't. That what you can do is be there for her. That's what you can
I mean,
do.
Yeah.
You can be there mm-hmm. for her. You can tell her you love her. You can tell her you're so thankful that she's in your life. And, you know,
and
talk about
alive.
Some of the things that are positive mm-hmm. and, you know, that she can look at and smile and feel proud,
yeah.
you know, where she was able to help you as a child. And other people too, and be there for the family. That's what you can do,
and, then she
and that's
asked
serving
me,
God too. That's serving God
but she
too,
knows my,
Michelle.
She, of course, she knows my story, right? So she said to me, "Tell me, Michelle, how you deal with it." And I shared it. So now here's the topic right now for us on this show:
uh-huh.
How and if you can't. If, watch this before I even say it. If you have not been able to handle the pain with good rapport, please don't respond. So here's my statement. How do you handle trauma, rape, abuse, human trafficking, kidnapping? If you ain't got a testimony of recovery behind that, please don't respond. Allow me and Carol to respond because I can respond to that. She can mm-hmm. respond to that. I don't know who else is on here, but I'd rather for someone to respond because that's the topic. How do you handle that pain? For real. And if you don't have an answer, don't give one.
Right.
And I'm gonna leave. Right. I'm gonna be quiet. I'm gonna let you start, Carol, and then I'm gonna come behind you.
Well, what I was starting to talk about, you're choking me up a little bit here. What I was starting to talk about before.
This real talk.
Is there is so much
she's listening.
Institutional
this 90-year-old
abuse.
Woman is on this line because her daughter
I know
gave
this.
Her number, and she's listening to this show. So I need
okay.
positive feedback right now. For her,
okay.
if not for you, if not for me, if not for, I need positive feedback for real. If you can't give it, give me the mic, mute everybody, and let me give it. And that's real
she
talk.
She's going to heal from this as far as physical, but she's going to need, you know, a lot of attention. And Michelle,
yes.
you're the perfect person to do that. Help her spiritually, mentally, and at times physically, okay? She's going
mm-hmm.
to need a lot of attention because of her age and also because of the trauma.
Yeah.
What the traumatic experience that she's gone through is not something to be laughed at. Or, well, I think I'll just turn the channel
well, how
right
do we
now.
Handle trauma, Carol? How do we handle trauma, Carol? I need for that to be out there. How do we handle trauma? Because we got not only this 90-year-old, but we got someone else I minister to that's listening. And I don't know who else is listening. But these two people, I need for them to receive positive feedback. And if you can't, well, no, I take that back. You can give it. But besides you, I can give it to anybody else. If it ain't positive, please don't respond. Because this is a serious show right now that we're having. This is serious.
Okay.
We got people's lives on the line.
Yes. when a person is filled so much with trauma, Michelle, as we've been and many others have been on this show, the show right here, NASCA, we have to, first of all, when you heal physically, you'll start feeling a little bit better mentally. And people can talk to the person, and they can say, whether it be, you know, your friend here, a wonderful motherly friend for you, or someone else. And again, she's not the only one. Okay, this is a monster. So, and they go, their prey are those who are weak, and that's why it's very young children, especially. And also, you know, kids are around 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then you have those that like the teenagers, and now you have this monster. This is, they don't have a name for this type of, monstrous thing that he did. We call pedophiles because they're a certain age. And then you have the middle age, the teenage years, those that like teenagers. And then you have those that are a little bit older, and they're rapists. Okay, they're rapists. They're all rapists. But they're not concerned so much about, you know, whether they're young or tiny. That there's a certain type of, that's really a big deal for them because they want to have power, and they're going to get lots of power from someone that age.
Yeah.
Now, someone who's 90 years old is helpless. They can't fight back. Someone who is 2 years old is helpless. They can't fight back.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, the very fact that this man, he goes before the judge tomorrow, right? I hope that when the sentencing comes up, I hope he gets life. Because you see, in that institution, in that hospital, in that nursing home, you can be sure that she has not been his only subject. You mentioned that there are those who like catatonic. They can't speak. Maybe they can't move, whatever. And those are real easy for him, isn't it? And he gets real charge out of that. There's so much power. They can't fight back. They can't even speak. Like a baby. A baby can't speak. You have like those who actually have sex with infants. Some die, and then there's other ways of using them, orally, I might as well say it, where they're not, you know, they don't go inside. Okay. So they do it that way. There's all different brackets, age brackets. A 90-year-old woman is like an infant in a sense because she can't fight back. She may be able to speak, all right? And I don't know, do you have conversations with her now? I mean, you're able to converse with her, correct?
Yes.
I mean, before this incident. She might still be in terrible shock. I can't answer that.
She's in total shock. And I see her prior to this happening, I was seeing her two to four times a week. Like, this is serious. Uh-huh. This is not like, you know, once in a while, you know, or her daughter called me and I heard about it. I've been in relationship with this woman. This is the nursing home she's in. This is one that, it's one of my ministries. That's why it's so close to my heart, why it's affected me the way it's affected me.
Of course. I wouldn't expect anything less from you. Okay.
Yeah.
Annie, is there something you'd like to say? I know you've been sitting there.
Thank you for asking. Thank you, Michelle, for sharing. And I know the feeling of being helpless because the victim is another person, not myself. And in a way, it's better because I get so angry at their abusers, and I have a hard time getting angry at my own abuser. But when I see it happen to somebody else, I get so angry that helps me to realize it wasn't my fault. I can be angry at my abuser, too.
Yeah. Wow. You know, what she just said, that's me. So you get it. Thank you for sharing what you shared because you're on point. You're on point with that, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, wow, what can I say right now? Yes, I don't endure it a lot. I experience a lot. I've been in survivor mode for over 20 years, but this incident just took me all the way back. like another individual. You know, for me, and I'm missing so many people, I hate to hear what they suffer. It's like it hurts me worse than what I experience. I don't want no one to ever go through what we went through, Carol or Annie, ever.
No. No. And that's why the stats are low on that. I had to go on Facebook some time ago and straighten that out because, you see, the stats are really low. We don't usually, you know, become abusers and abuse other people, those of us who have been sexually abused. Physically is a different thing. But sexually is something that, like you're saying, it's so horrific. They're all horrific. All the abuses are horrific. But it's so horrific in the sense that we don't want that intrusion. We don't want that taken away from us when we're children. We don't want that taken away from us. This is our body, and look what this person is doing to us. And we're elderly. I'm 90 years old. Look at what this person is doing to me, and I can't fight back.
Yeah.
So you see this, she's terribly angry. And that's why she didn't want you talking about God and all that stuff. She didn't want you to pray for her. I mean, she let you because you're Michelle. But, you know, I mean, what I'm saying to you is she's going to have all different kinds of emotional things that she's going to have to work with, okay? Someone's going to have to help her. Because she's going to have, she'll suffer terribly from fear. She'll suffer terribly from sadness. She'll suffer terribly from anger that she never thought she had before because she knows she's 90 and it's so ludicrous, okay? And she's going to want to, you know, do something to that man herself, and if she can't, so what she's going to end up doing is just hope, too, that he's in jail then for the rest of his life because that's where he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all she can do is to wait and see what happens. And let's just pray that for once, okay, that our justice system looks at this in the proper light and puts this man away and throws a key, okay, throw it away. I think that all children who are abused horribly, they should do the same thing. Throw away the key. Because these people, they've done studies for so many decades now. I looked it up. I know how many decades. This is something that they've been doing for at least 40 years. And trying to find solutions with pedophiles, can they be fixed? Can they be worked with? Maybe for a very short time in the teenage years when they first get them. But after that, many times they turn around and go right back to it. Okay. In the meantime, they'll do petty theft. They found this out. And then, that's not good enough. That's not what satisfies them because they're power freaks. We know this. So that doesn't mean anything to them. Okay, they went and stole some stuff. So then they turn right and go right back to the original crime of rape. That's what they do. So the solution then for me that I can only think of is to put them away forever.
I agree. There should be no parole, life sentence for pedophiles.
Absolutely.
The kids have a life sentence. You know, for the rest of our lives, we have to deal with it.
That's right.
So why shouldn't the pedophile have to?
Absolutely. And that's always been my argument. You took the words right out of my mouth because that's what I used to say on the show.
Yeah.
And it only makes common sense. See, I like common sense. And that's common sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. So what I want to say to the people who are listening, I want you to know that there are different types of trauma. There are different types of depression. But just know that you're not alone. I have my sister Carol here. I have my sister Ann. I'm Sister Michelle. Believe me, anyone who's listening in the chat room or listening online, anything that you have went through and you never shared, and it's been a secret for you, believe me, it's not a secret for us. We have endured different types of trauma, and we're still here. We are here because we chose to deal with it. We chose to allow God to come into our lives to also help us. And he used people, different people, to come into our lives to help us. He allowed therapists, counselors, and I'm a counselor and therapist, you know. Just know that you're not alone. And just know that anything that you kept a secret, that you're ashamed to share, it would not be a shame in front of us. It would not be a shame in front of us. No matter what you go through in your life, just know that you're not alone. And I want to say this, and I'm going to give the mic back to my sister Carol. I want to say this real quick. You can go through a lot of stuff in your life, and you feel like you're the only person that go through it. But whatever you were doing to help you obviously didn't help. So be open-minded to hear what you can do that can help you, because there is a solution. I sat here and shared briefly about what I went through, and I said briefly because I shared more about one of the people that I'm ministering to, what they're enduring. No matter what you go through, there is an outlet. Only if you choose to want to experience that great outlet. And I would say to a person, and people say, well, I don't know if that works. Then you know what I would say to them? What you've been doing, has it worked? Has it worked? No. So why not take the opportunity or the chance to try something different? It's one thing
that's
about
right.
Me who's listening, and I'm Minister Michelle. I don't want anyone to continue to be in suffering and pain. You don't have to be in that. I might have shed a little tears today. I share what I endure with someone and who I minister to. I have compassion for people. I feel their pain. But still standing here strong on this show, you do not have to go through that by yourself. And I would say try something different. Now I get a mic to you, sweetie.
Okay. You know, I receive a lot of calls, and sometimes they're from men, you know. At one point, it was all from men. And they're so ashamed, Michelle, you know, to talk about what they went through.
Mm-hmm.
Women are a little bit more open. You know, they'll tell a friend, and then that friend will tell another friend, and maybe they'll sit down and talk together and, you know, try to decide how they can help her, the one who's been abused and all this other stuff. Where men, they keep it inside, and they hold it inside. And then all kinds of things. It affects your health. It affects you mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You many times you have all different kinds of maladies with your body where you might have heart problem. I developed heart problem because I had too many panic attacks. I had it from the age of 9 to 49. Very strange. 9 to 49 panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I worked, but I had a flask in my back pocket and nobody knew it. If I had to, you know, when I worked with AA and stuff like that, you know, I worked in different detox centers, and at times I had to run group and so forth, whatever. I was a fraud, Michelle, because I hadn't faced my demons. I mean, I knew they were there.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were there, but I didn't know what to do with them, okay? How am I
going
to fix me?
Exactly.
Now, here's
right.
the problem. And here's a solution. We can't fix ourselves because we're spinning around like a top. And our mind is going around and around and around like a top. And we've got the past so engulfed in us. It's so embedded. It's a part of our fabric of what we went through as a child. and we're angry,
right.
And rightfully so. And all these things, these emotional feelings that we have, and yet we try to present ourselves as a normal person in society, but we're not normal, and it's okay that we're not normal. You see, people have to realize, especially men, that it's all right to not, you know, be perfect, because no one's perfect. And what we go through as a child helps mold us as to what we become as an adult. And if we don't get that help somewhere in there, and we reach a certain age where we can get that help, so that's where the solutions come in, where we can get that help that we need, then as an adult, we owe it to ourselves to be happy.
Amen.
And the only way we're going to be happy is if we start realizing what those demons are inside of us. What are the things that make me so sad? Is it what triggered me just now? Okay, stop for a minute. Look at the situation. Are you out somewhere? Did someone say something nasty to you? Did someone down you? What is it that triggered you? And if you can look at that moment, if you can look at that moment, then you can remove yourself from that moment. You take yourself out of the room.
Do we have any callers listening?
This is one way. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any callers listening?
This is one way. Say what?
Do we have any callers listening?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to look in the on the scale.
I'm asking you to look.
Well, I can't do that because then I'd lose the studio. I can't.
Oh, well, I don't want you to do that.
You can't just do that. No, I don't want to do that either because then I'd lose everybody here and the ones who are listening.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to say here is something that I had to learn too. Number one, I needed help. Okay.
Right, right.
I walked by a church. They grabbed me anyway. I didn't have any say in the matter. They said, you're a mess.
Oh,
I said, yes, I am. So they had, that was a huge, huge prayer group, Michelle, that had over 200 people in their prayer group. Huge.
Mm.
I consider that huge. I don't know. I never knew of one that had that many. So anyway, they had, people came from all walks of life, all walks of life. Now, they had a little easier time with me because even though the things that I went through, two things. Number one, I never blamed myself. I did not blame myself. No, I didn't. And number two, not only did I not blame myself, but I knew that what the people had done was wrong. And there was nothing that I could have done to change it. I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it went into the teenage years. And then because we don't get the help we need, what do? We choose poorly. And we continue to make mistakes.
Absolutely.
So the one thing that we have to do as part of a solution plan is to, yes, get help. And if you find, you know, you can doctor shop, and you can also, and I don't mean that in a pill way or all that other stuff. Well, you can therapist, counselor, shop. It's up to you. We work for them, okay? They don't, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We work for them.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm a counselor also.
You know,
so
we have to help them.
I get it. You know,
and I let
people.
Yeah, they too have to be open to it. And what I want to say about that is it's not always comfortable. Because sometimes a really good counselor or therapist can get very close to something that's really, really down deep inside of you. They can figure it out.
Absolutely.
But if you don't approach that subject, whatever it might be, that problem, whatever it might be, then it's going to stay with you. Because it stayed with you all those years.
Yeah, because if you can say something, when I deal with my patients, I sit back, they lay on the couch, and they put their hand over their head, and they get to talking. And I just write what they feel. And that's what they want.
Uh-huh.
They want to be comfortable. They want to be able to share, you know. And I let my clients do that, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't force people to speak.
No, you cannot.
I had this one. I was assigned this 117-year-old kid, when I was part of the Rahway Lifers program. I don't speak about that program too often. But that was volunteer, by the way. I had to get something outside of working in the dime store, eating too many malted balls, and they changed me to Staples. God, Michelle, how embarrassing. So, all right. So I went to the Rahway Lifers program, Scared Straight, and worked for them for 3 years voluntarily, and I learned a lot, and they sent all of us, many of us, to school. So that was good. All right. So we learned a lot of things. So this 17-year-old boy, when I sat on his porch and I'm trying to talk to him, he put a book up in front of his face and refused to look at me. So then I became quiet because I can't help someone if he's not going to look at me. So I sat there for that hour, and I did it again the next time I was supposed to be there, and again the third time that I was supposed to be there. He was not going to get rid of me, okay? I refused to give up on this kid who had already given up on himself.
Exactly.
So,
you see how easy that is
to
for us to pick that up? Of course. Absolutely. See, I like what you just said. Say it again. You said you refused to give up on this kid.
On this kid
who
had already given
up on
himself.
Yes.
That's correct.
I love that. That's
yes.
good. That's good, Carol. That's good.
So this is what happened. The next time I went, he didn't have the book. And we sat and we looked at each other. And he got up and left the house. And he started to jog. Well, I was younger, and I could still jog, okay? So I figured, I'm going to jog with him. So he went a little faster, and I went as fast as I could. And I'm jogging with this kid down the street, okay?
Right.
So
he
saw he was not going to lose me. I was so out of breath. I was still smoking. And I was getting, oh, please stop, you know. And he did stop. And he said, he turned and looked at me, and he said to me, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Because I believe in you. That's why. I believe in
you." There
you
go. There you go.
So you see,
yes.
This is what people and kids, and I don't care how old you are, they need to hear that, because they have been downed all their life by someone.
Yes.
Maybe it's the whole family.
Yes.
Depends on what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
So we became great friends. And you're only supposed to have one, but I ended up with a caseload of 25. And so I'd spend time with them, and I'd take them out, and we'd, you know, we were good buddies. I'd let them all come over and play ball and all kinds of stuff, whatever. So that they started to really engage with each other. This was good. A lot of them were so into each other or into themselves or so, you know, they would go into hiding. They didn't want to be around people. Draw them out, okay?
Right,
so it was
right,
therapy
right.
for all of them in that circle of 25. I did give one back. He was a chemist, and I was afraid he was going to kill me. I had to take him out on Sundays, and he was actually selling weed, and he was lacing it. And people were losing, Michelle, they were losing control of their face, and they never got it back.
Okay.
So
wow.
That's how strong it was, yes. So they put me down in the park. Thank you. So I knew who it was, and unfortunately he was mine, okay? So I did go to probation. I did say, take him back. I don't want him. I'm afraid to turn my coke away. You know, I take him bowling, things like that. I'm afraid to have him around me. So there are boundaries.
Yeah.
I have boundaries, too. And that's something that people have to learn.
Well, you have to when you're ministering to someone, people don't understand. Like, we're survivors, but when God brings someone like a victim into our life, we have to, of course, we're going to be sympathy, we're going to be empathy, we're going to be all that. But then there's going to be bound because we don't want them to be gone. We're here to help. We're here to help you. We're here to show you something different than what you've been doing for yourself, which is isolation, shut down, depressed, angry, don't trust. We experienced all that, Carol, you know?
Yes, we have. Yeah.
We experienced all that. And so we understand. See, that's where the empathy and the sympathy and all that and the compassion comes in, because we can relate. Believe me, we can relate.
That's
so let's
right.
try something different. Let's try something different. Amen.
Mhm. Mhm. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you people have to reach that point, Michelle. Sometimes
yeah.
I get phone calls where people are so deep in a rut. You know, they were terribly abused as children, and
yes.
they don't know how to get out of that rut. And then there are those that I think that some of them want to stay in that rut. They like the attention. We once had on our
yeah.
show
yeah.
this guy who came on, this is years ago now, and I don't remember his name, it's too long ago. But anyway, he
okay.
had the same therapist for 13 years. 13 years.
Don't tell me. And he was still stuck?
No.
That's
I don't think so. It could have been. I don't remember. But anyway, and I wouldn't say that if I did remember. But let me say this. The point is this. He wasn't getting any better. So I said to him,
that's why I said
when you
stuck.
Go to your... Yeah, we'll check it out. When you go to your
okay.
therapy sessions, what do you guys talk about? I mean, give me a little hint, because he doesn't have to tell me
right.
anything. Well, you know, that's confidential. So he said, well, I trust you, so I'm going to tell you a few things. We've become great friends. And I said, uh-oh, is he getting smoochy with her or what? I don't know what he's doing. So so anyway, you say, oh, she started to tell me her problems. And so we sit and we talk about each other's problems. That's not a therapist.
No, it's not.
So you see, no.
No, it's not.
So
sorry. No, it's not.
No. So I said,
oh,
don't you think it's time for you to move on? Don't you want to heal?
Yes.
Because you're not going to
yes.
heal
yes.
when you two are swapping, you know, stories about unhappy you are. There's
right.
no solution.
Exactly.
There's no solution.
Yeah,
well, he got
right.
mad at me. He got mad at me, Michelle.
Of course.
And he didn't call me again. I hit the truth.
He's not healed. He wasn't healed.
No.
First of all, he wasn't healed. He was already
mm-hmm.
shut down, closed in, depressed, don't trust.
Mm-hmm.
And who
mm-hmm.
are you? That's what, you know, come on now. Come on.
That's right. So you will run across people like that as well who really are more comfortable where they're at. Oh, poor me. Oh, poor me. Look at me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be able to do that with someone. I want to help that person to move on, okay, to help them move
of
on
course.
And to live a
yes,
different
ma'am.
Lifestyle.
But
then there are those like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We bet you that.
So,
I tell people,
you know,
like, they say, well, you don't understand. Yes, I do. Before I gave myself to God to help me, to heal me, to restore me, to renew me, to refine me, I was just like you. I was isolated.
Mm-hmm.
I was shut down. I was depressed.
Yep.
I didn't trust no one. You know, and this particular lady who I was talking to, who did not give up on me, she said to me, I said to her, 3 months have passed. I said, all we do is sit here and I don't say nothing, and you don't say nothing. You just go on your computer and you do. She said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do until you're ready to talk. And that was so
mm-hmm.
profound. I was like, okay. 3 months later, you know, and then I shared my story with her, you know, and that had helped. It has helped me, and I've been on this road of recovery, of healing. There is no greater thing than peace. And guess
right.
what? As being victims at the time when I was one, I never had peace. I never had peace. So when I experienced peace, it would allow my relationship with God. This is for me. What helped me? It grew, and that's why I am who I am today. because right. of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Right.
Period.
Right.
So,
right.
And I would say to an individual, whatever works for you that's going to give you positive, mm-hmm. use it. If it's positive, if it was negative,
absolutely.
Then why not listen to us? Why not take the suggestions of what we have done, what we have used, what has helped us give you a better life of peace?
Mm-hmm.
Still on your journey of healing, but what about that peace? I tell you, ain't
right.
nothing better than that peace. Ain't nothing better than that peace. And even though I went through what I went through today, dealing with this woman who I ministered to for years, and then for her to experience rape at 90 years old, I got peace,
yeah.
though. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm still able to help her, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just being there for her, holding her
exactly.
hand, and
yeah.
you know, letting her know that you care, and
yeah.
just tell her you're such a wonderful person, you've helped me so much. It gives her a higher
spirit.
That's
what she said to me all the time. I'm telling you, that's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I was like, thank you, God. Like, you know, she saw my tears because I had so much compassion for her, of course. I cried.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I said in my spirit to the Lord? I would have rather had went through that right now instead of her experience it. For real.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
let's see what
yeah,
Annie
yeah.
thinks about that. Annie,
of
what
course.
Are you doing?
Well,
I hear you. Yes, I do.
You hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. Maybe doing dishes or something. So,
oh no,
yeah,
I'm
you know, you can
anything.
You can burp, and you can hear a person burp.
I heard her moving around. Yeah.
I heard
oh,
someone
really?
Burp. I'm not going to say who.
Oh my God.
Some time ago.
Oh my God.
And I'll say that it was a male. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'll say. And I mean, it came through. Yes, it did. Right in my ear. Yeah. So,
so funny.
But anyway,
so funny.
Annie, what do you have to say?
Well, you know, I've just been thinking about rape and how it affected my life. And I never thought that I had been raped until I started talking to other women. And I realized,
mm-hmm.
yes, that was a rape. I gave no consent to that. And
that's
that
right.
was a rape. And I can count three of them in my life. And it's really shocking for me to say that. But that's the truth of it. That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
And all of the times it was when I was not strong. I didn't stand up for myself, you know, defend myself, that kind of thing. I was a really scared person at the time.
Mm.
And they probably picked up on that and figured I was a good victim. Not anymore. Not a victim
Amen.
Anymore.
Good
yes,
girl.
Yes.
Good girl.
Yes,
but
yes.
you know, I think I need to take like a self-defense course or something.
Of course,
I'm 65.
You know, I hold
and
three
how
black
could
belts.
I...
I'm a third degree black belt. I hold three belts. So, girl, go for it. Go for it.
Good for you. Wow.
Isn't she amazing? Oh my God. I would not want to get kicked by Michelle. No. No. No, I wouldn't.
So funny, girl.
Mm-mm. Well, getting kicked by you wouldn't be funny. I know that. She's got
you
know, those strong, powerful legs. She does. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
got to
show her. You
got to
show her
girl.
My video when I was dancing on that Friday thing. Carol,
oh, she's so pretty. And let me tell you something. She can
oh,
dance. She can
oh,
dance, man.
Nice.
I told you, I want to learn how to dance like that. Oh, yes, I do.
I got moves
she,
now.
You should see the way she
was
dancing. She, just, she is really, really good. Really good. Yeah.
Thank
yep.
you, Carol.
You're welcome.
Amen. Amen.
And then there was some good-looking guy in the background, but you told me he wasn't really there. He was like,
they put the cookers in for people, right? They put it all together. I did my part, and then they added people from different other cities and states to blend in to do their dance. But let's hear more from Annie.
Otherwise, I'll start talking about guys again. Go ahead.
Well, she said something that was interesting. So go ahead, Karen. Go ahead, Annie.
Well, the other thing that I've been thinking of, and I feel like I'm ashamed of myself for thinking it, is that men are scary, and they rape women sometimes, and I can't look at men the same way that I used to. I look at men with suspicion now. I didn't have that in the
and
past.
And it's okay, girl. Don't you, okay, let's take that. I want you to take this one part out of your vocabulary. Don't you dare think, I don't know if I'm ashamed or I don't know if I should be saying this. Girl, what you're saying right now is real talk. From a woman with women. That's real talk, Annie. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's real talk, sister.
So how do you get over the sexism? I feel sexism, because women don't rape people as much as men do. I don't want to feel like a sexist, I don't want to organize people that way, but I just can't get over the fact.
Anna, it's like that because if you are during the time of being a victim and you've been assaulted, I don't want the men to get upset because I'm talking about the women right now. When you've been abused as a woman, and also been hurt by a man, you give your all, you give your trust, you give your love, you give your mind, you give your body, and then they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It does that. It will put you in that mind state as a woman. Because see, we are emotional creatures. Now, I'm not saying to say that men are not emotional, but we as women, we are emotional creatures. So when a woman gets hurt like that, the walls go up. And, of course, we're not going to trust no man. But I'm going to tell you how that's going to end. You're going to meet a man, I'm telling you, whether it's just conversation or business wise or however God gonna do it, but I'm telling you, you're gonna experience where you will be able to trust a man, because I can say today, as the woman that I am, I trust men. Watch this, Annie. Prior to that, 20 years ago, I did not. You couldn't convince me otherwise, but God, when he showed me and he renewed me, and he restored me, and he refined me. He put me in that furnace. Because, see, guess what? All men are not the same. But that doesn't mean because all men are not the same that you're supposed to have your walls down or be guarded. You're going to know for yourself whether you'll let that wall down and trust a real man. Because a real man is going to know what he needs to do to earn your trust. If you are who he wants, I'm going to say it again, if you are who he wants, he knows, if he's a man, that he would have to not only say it, but he has to show it. And guess what, Annie? If he don't take the time to show you, he ain't the one. Keep it moving. Boom.
Yeah.
How about that? How about that?
You know, I'm not even looking for the one because I've been married twice, and I'm happy by myself now. I don't need a partner in life.
I'm single. I'm single, and I love being single, but guess what? I was made for marriage, but I'm not going to jump to any man because he say whatever he say out of his mouth. See, watch this. Action speaks louder than words. You can talk all day, but if the actions don't match what you say, it's like throwing pearl on swine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I deal with a man. And men come at me all the time. And I'm not boasting of them. I'm a good-looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a woman that was still in a position of being sad not only by myself, I can get married right now. But no, I'm waiting for that one. And God will bring that one. It'll happen. But in the meantime, I'm strong. I'm not that little girl that was broken and taken advantage of. I'm a full-grown woman. I'm a black woman. And I'm a godly woman. So it ain't too much you can get past me. And I'm gonna be quiet because I'm gonna let Carol answer that part because me and Carol are best friends. She'll tell you it ain't too much
that's
gonna
right.
get past me. You ain't gonna come and get past. You ain't gonna do none of that. God left that two-edged sword. I was slice and dice it. It won't be nice.
You know, Michelle is very funny too, but she means what she says. You know, like I was a little upset some time ago over this guy. I'm not gonna mention any names. And Michelle was saying, "Oh, let me at him. I'm coming up there. Let me. You can't do that to me. Now he's not gonna let him. No.
Annie,
I'm not gonna let him do that to you too."
Annie, listen, Annie, I was flying to my sister city.
Carol's
my best friend. I was flying there. Yes, I was,
yeah.
But guess what? You know why I didn't fly there? Because after she shared what was going on and I gave her my opinion as being a woman that I am and what God was saying, she took my advice, and that's why she ain't in that mess right now. Am I lying, Carol?
No, you're not lying. I know, no. And I've also, I have a different idea about things, Annie. First of all, I don't want to get married, okay? I'm a good cook when I want to be. I can keep a good house.
Let me tell you what.
Now, hold on a second. Let me say what I'm finishing here. Okay. Well, what I'm saying here. Wait a second. Okay. What I'm saying here is this. I want a guy to go out with maybe two or three times a week, and then I want him to go home.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can. Then he can
Absolutely.
Come back. And we
then
can watch a dinner. We can go see a show. I love Broadway, although New York is not New York that I grew up in. I don't know what I'm saying on that, but you know what I'm saying. Go someplace
right.
nice and have a really good night. But you see, I like my space.
Mm-hmm.
I do at this point in my life. See, I understand what Andy's saying too. See, I want something in the middle. I like my space. So I love to ride bikes. I don't mean bicycles, honey. I mean bikes, okay? And this
mm-hmm.
guy's coming back up to Jersey soon, and I'll go riding again. I like that. And they're always Harleys. I love Harleys. But I went not too long ago. But anyway, the point is this. There's certain things I like to do, and then you
right.
go home, and I'll go home. And I'll throw you kisses, honey. Oh, yes, I will. And then get out of my way. I'm going to go home. I'm going to play with my cat. I want to watch the news. I'm a news buff.
Wait a minute,
I want my face. And if I want to put rollers in my hair, I don't want anybody saying, ew, okay, whatever.
Annie, wait a minute, Carol. Annie.
It makes my hair fluffy. I like that.
Wait a minute, hold up, Carol. Annie, my sister said, I like this, that, and the other. But then I want you to go home.
That's right. That's exactly right. For too long.
I think you're taking away.
That's my girl.
Let me tell you what. For too long, we let guys push us around. Did we
right,
not?
Right.
I mean, I know
right,
I did.
Right.
I can speak for myself.
I did.
Yeah. And that's because we had that terrible low self-esteem, all right? All these things that we go through because we've been abused as children.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get help until I was older. So I chose poorly, too, in marriages and all this stuff. Love my kids to death. I love them.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I had them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I got raped when I was 17, the last time of rape, and I got pregnant. But God took
mm-hmm.
that child away from me. And I didn't get to tell my mother because she would have killed me.
I remember when you shared that, Carol,
And she said she was going to put, you know, if I ever got pregnant, she said this to me when I was 15, if you ever get pregnant, I'm going to put you in an unwed mother's home. Remember that. And I mean, she wasn't a mother anyway. She didn't know how to be a mother. So I wouldn't dare tell her that I got raped for the last time at the age of 17 and that I got pregnant. And I just, you know, and God took that baby. So I have a baby up in heaven. Now I have to make it to heaven. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
I'm knocking on wood here,
Michelle.
You will make it to heaven, Carol, and your baby's going to meet you at the Golden Gate. When is your
time? I sure hope so, Michelle. Yes,
you
I
will,
do.
Carol.
I sure hope so.
Stop saying hope so. It will happen. You are going to heaven.
Well,
we are advocates for the Lord. God love what we do. Girl, I'm telling you, girl, your name is written in the book of the Lamb. Come on now, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, it is.
Hallelujah, and amen
to
that.
Your child will meet you at the Golden Gate. Yes, ma'am.
I'm here holding my cross. I hope you're right.
I'm in the Lord right now. He's telling me. Stop it. I'm telling you.
Okay, then. I'll take it. I'll believe you. Come on now.
Andy,
you say amen because you're going to make it too.
Yes, you are, Annie. And I'm hearing the Lord too. I keep hearing that. Yes, you are. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Come on now. Yeah.
Come on, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
We're going to be one of the 144,000 that make it to heaven, because that's what it says in the Bible.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not a lot of people.
We give God all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Now, you know, and Annie, Carol will tell you, I never come on here like, you know, because our show, I don't do the religion thing. You know, God is not a religion, so that's first of all. But, you know, I will, but if he's talking to me in my spirit to say what I need to say to the individual who's online with us, like I just did with Carol and you, I mean that. That's not me. That's him. And I'm telling you guys' name are written in the book of the Lamb. And Carol, I heard the Lord, he said it again just now. He said, your child will meet you at the Golden Gate when you come into that gate.
Wait.
And when you come into that gate, he's going to say, well done, faithful servant. Don't play with
He's giving me chills.
I'm just telling you what thus says the Lord. And Annie, he said, for me to tell you, your eyes have not seen, and your ears have not heard what he has in store for you. That ain't me. I'm just saying what God said.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not all that. I ain't perfect, but I do have a relationship with the Lord. And when he speaks to me, I'm going to speak it. Because let me say this real quick, and I'm going to be done. No more talking about, you know, religion, nothing like that. But, Annie, I remember 20 years ago, you know, I used to be, God would say stuff to me to tell people, and I was afraid to do it, right? So I wouldn't do it. And then 3 months passed, and God said, what did I say? I said, well, God is not going to receive it. He said, it don't matter whether they don't receive it or not. You tell them what I said and leave it at
that. That's right.
Yep, and so I've been, and when he said that, after I got scared, his voice got loud, I ain't scared no more. I'm going to tell you, because I'm scared of God. See, I ain't scared of mankind. I ain't scared of the world. I ain't scared of nothing on this earth. But God, that's who I fear. So when he tells me to say something, I'm going to say it. When he tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. No matter what a person think or feel, it don't matter. I'm going to speak that thing. Because he is who I honor.
Yes.
Ooh, okay, yeah, let's change the subject because I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. I'm getting excited now. I'm getting excited. Jesus.
I know. I know. I hear it. I hear it.
My God.
But
I felt that.
You know, let
I
me tell you something.
I felt that.
Let me tell you something. I felt that hand on my shoulder when I was a kid.
See, that's why I know you ain't like, I ain't going to interrupt you, Carol. Annie,
no.
My sister been talking this for years. I'm going to be quiet. She's going to tell you what she's about to say. She's not lying. Because God has confirmed to me that what she said is the truth. I heard this back in 2012, and this is 2022. Go ahead, Carol.
Yeah, I was scared. Let me tell you what. I was in my. I'm going to say this to you, Annie. Okay. Now I'm not a preacher, but I believe in what I believe in. Okay. Now my mother was an atheist. And she, I was afraid she was going to kill me one day anyway. I saw her looking at me with so much evil, I was scared to death of her. So anyway, the point is this. One of my friends had run away. She had been living with us. My mother would let me have friends in the house. It was so big so I could have friends because she didn't want to talk to me. So if I had a friend living with me, she didn't have to talk to me, did she? See, I knew what she was doing. So, all right, here's the deal. So she ran away. My house was scarier than her house, all right? She moved down Newark, and she didn't want to come back. I didn't know this. And a pedophile got a hold of her. Well, he wouldn't be a pedophile because we were 15. That's that next. I'm going to get those names of each group.
Yes, he was a pedophile. Yes, he was.
No, it's 12 before, honey, 12 and 13 before. Before
okay.
Puberty. Okay. So, okay. So
okay.
I'll explain that. I'll explain that. Not tonight, though. We're almost over here.
We got 4
so
minutes.
This is
go
what
ahead.
Happened.
We got 4 minutes. We got 4 minutes.
Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were down. She said, let's skip school today and let's go down to Newark. I said, why would I want to go to Newark? I used to hang down on the neck of Newark. They did drugs. They were shooting up. That's where I was popping pills, all this other stuff. All right, so I didn't want to go to Newark, but she didn't. Come on. I've got a surprise for you. Well, she had a surprise for me, all right. We were running away, and I didn't know it. Now, I'm not stupid. If I'm going to run away, I'm going to have money. I'm going to have a little bit of clothing. You know, I'd work it out, okay? We get down the neck of Newark. We get off the bus, and she said, we're running away. I said, are you crazy? It's 10 degrees out, and we're running away. Are you nuts? And I said, I only have my lunch money on me. She says, well, that's what I've got, too, and a little bit more. So we go. We have a cup of coffee. And it's getting later and later, and I'm getting really nervous, and all these guys are walking by and all this stuff. And before I know it, we're down by the buses, bus depot, and I said, look, I've got to get out of here, and I don't have any money. I'm going to beg someone for money to get the heck out of here. This guy came up to us, and people out there, listen to this. He handed me a PAL card, Police Athletic League card, and it looked perfect. So
okay,
I thought, oh, my gosh. He's a savior. He's going to help us, all right? So he gets us on the bus to go back, and he got on the bus, too. I thought that was weird, but I sat behind the bus driver. I sat behind the bus driver. She went to the back of the bus with this guy, and let me tell you what happened, okay? She went back to Newark with him. She was gone for weeks. Police couldn't find her, all this other stuff. I'm on my hands and knees, and I'm praying to God by my window, because that's where I pray. I look up to the heavens, I'm praying. I felt this hand on my shoulder. I thought my mother had snuck in the room or something. And I thought, no, I locked the door. See, I was in the dark. I turned the light off. I got so frightened that she was in the room, and I'd get hit. She would hit me for things like that. So anyway, long story short, After that hand, my friend was found within 24 hours. Yes, she was all junked up. She had track marks all over the place, but she was alive. And ever since that time, don't tell me that there's no God. No.
You're darn right. Come on, Carol.
No, that's
You're darn right. Yes, ma'am.
So anyway,
see,
I think we had a very good show.
I know that it's true, Annie, the reason why I know that it's true, because I heard this story over 100 times. She never missed a beat. She never adds. She never subtracts. Same story. And God even said to me, she's telling the truth. And when she, I remember that when she first shared that story, that was back in 2012. I cried. In 2012, I cried.
Well, we're going to hang this up now, Michelle, because I've got the cue. Now we're down to 10 seconds. So we had a wonderful show. And I'm hoping that we were able to, you know, to comfort you in your time of grief with this woman. And I'll be praying for you
so
and for her and for her family.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys
so
much.
So we'll be back tomorrow. I don't know, Michelle will be here. I don't know if she's in the hospital.
I will be here tomorrow. I will be here tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. And good night, everybody. Have a good night. And take care.
Good night.
Tomorrow,
cause that dawn will come. You are forgotten after all that you've done.
Blog Talk Radio.